The grace of Him who loved us and has freed us from our sin, His mercy, His kindness, His truth, all yours, trusting in Him, our Lord Jesus Christ. As we follow our Good Shepherd in the high country and then back to the home place, according to the words of Psalm 23, we bow our heads in prayer. Lord Jesus, You are our Good Shepherd. Thank You for leading us all through our lives. As we look at this psalm again today, grant that the words may implant in our hearts and blossom and bloom in our lives. For You always want results, dear Lord, and You alone can get them through the power of Your word and Your holy sacraments. In Your dear name, dear Jesus, we pray. Amen. So all through this hymn to divine diligence, this hymn of praise, we have been following the Good Shepherd and recognizing that everything for the sake of the sheep depends on one thing. There's really one emphasis throughout all six verses of Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. It all comes down to the fact that for every single sheep, each of the sheep in his flock can only benefit based on his diligence, his care. If left to themselves, the sheep are a mess. So this is really then the climax of what we're seeing as we get down to this final verse, and we see that it all comes together in this, that surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. But what really are goodness and mercy? You know, just nice concepts to use in sermons and Bible classes, pious platitudes to throw into your life, things to say to people when you can't think of anything else to say. You know, we're sheep, so we need the Lord to fill these words with the content of His blessing and help us understand what is goodness and what is mercy. And what especially are these when I can't see them? Goodness is bound up in the heart of God. Goodness is His very essence. In fact, if you stop and look at it, Luther liked to point this out in the German, von Gott, gut, and we would say from God comes goodness. There is that word, good, and God, and they are closely related in different languages. There's a reason for that. We have trusted down through the ages, wherever God's word has gone, that good will only come from God, and we trust in Him and Him alone. Goodness from God. Don't you love it when we work so hard and struggle so long and everything we do in our technology and in our mechanics and in our great investments in our countryside, our homes, our land, all of the work of the engineers and everything to try to keep us high and dry? What does it take? A few inches of rain. And what do you do when things like that happen and you are a sheep in the care of the Good Shepherd and you have to stop and think, can I now still trust that goodness and mercy will follow me in this? As you see the reports coming out of the flood region, you sometimes follow people into their homes and they'll say things like, hold your nose. I don't think any of us, unless you've been there, and then maybe you don't even remember what it was like, can imagine the stench that's left behind in floodwaters when the sewage all backs up and there are dead things all over. It surprised me going back to the Oregon coast with my kids after many years away that it really smells bad when the tide goes out at the ocean. It's dead things all left behind. It's just the way it is. But can I say goodness and mercy will follow me? Is God really good? Do I really trust that that is His essence? Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith is what clings to God's word at those times when our senses are all telling us something different. Trusting in my shepherd's loving pursuit, there is this certainty wrapped up in the words, all the days of my life. This is a reality that's going to follow me day by day by day. And it's really in what Jesus said in his great commission to his disciples when he sent them out to disciple all the ethnic groups by baptizing and by teaching. He said, "Surely I will be with you all the days." That's the literal, all the days, day by day by day, to the gathered goal of the age. So all the days of my life, he's with me. And when I wake up, I'm still with you. This is what David said 3,000 years ago in other Psalms too. So goodness is God's essence. And his sound, sympathetic, intelligent ownership is what he shows as he guides and blesses his flock. But we are all sheep who love to wander. Still remember that when the pastor that married Cindy and me said that about the struggles of being a pastor in a large parish in Milwaukee and how these are sheep who love to wander and we are sheep who love to wander. That's the frustration. None of us as under-shepherds of the good shepherd could survive long at all if we didn't have the shepherd's care in his constant goodness. I rebel. I just do. I ask why. I ask why, God, why me? I want to make excuses when I'm running away, running with the wrong crowd. It's not just kids that do that, right? We worry about our children growing up and running with the wrong crowd. But how easy that is to do as adults now that we have so much social media, so much technology into our homes. We can run with the wrong crowd when nobody else is watching except God. We can become polluted by the age in which we live just because of where our eyes and our ears go. And then, what do? We blame someone else, or God. And what are we doing? We're just basically showing that we are sons and daughters of Adam. Adam and Eve, in their sin, blamed each other and ultimately blamed God. So I have to look at myself in honesty and say, all right, as a sheep, what do I have that the master really wants? Why would he follow me with goodness all the days of my life when I really deserve the opposite? There's really only one answer and one reason, and that is his mercy. Translated love, love will follow me in the New International Version, but it really doesn't cover it. There's a general word for love in Hebrew, ahav, and you know, three words in the Greek New Testament, but this word love in the Old Testament is really mercy, because it's a word that means God looks at the pitiful state of humanity, and this from all eternity, and realizes they're not going to be able to help themselves, and so he decides he will not only help them, but pay the price to do it. And then promise right away to his rebellious first couple, the seed of the woman will crush the serpent's head. And all the rest of Scripture reveals how through the prophets again and again he promised it. Don't forget, I said this. This is the Messiah coming through you Jewish people, but also to the nations, to the Gentiles. And then when Jesus comes to that last moment and he realizes it's time to go to the cross and he's praying, sweating great drops of blood. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. The silence is deafening. He goes to the cross. He suffers. He dies. He rises again. All predicted, all promised, and all for you and me. That's this Hebrew word chesed. That's mercy. It's not just pity that feels sorry for others. It's action. It's love in action. I wander off. He follows me. I fall. He picks me up. Remember the cast sheep? So thick with wool and then filling up with mud and manure in its wool. And it rolls around in those familiar, easy places until finally it rolls over and it can't get up again. You think I've fallen and can't get up actually comes from our society? It's sheep. They can't. And if the master doesn't find them, whether it's hot or cold, that sheep will die with belly to the sun or belly to the cold. He's got to find me, pick me up, and set me back on my feet again. I mess up my life. He cleans it. It's what he does. I bleat in misery, lost. He searches. He finds. He quiets. He comforts. He cares. Remember that picture that Philip Keller liked to use about the flask of brandy and water that he carried at his side, the shepherd's flask? You can Google that and find pictures of shepherd's flask. And he would use that especially if a sheep had been cast for too long and didn't have circulation. Have to take that sheep, roll it over, set it on its feet, and actually straddle it and hold it up for a little while. Otherwise, she'd wobble and just fall. But he said it was especially fun with the little lambs because he would set them on their feet and give them just a few drops of that brandy and water. And then watch as their system is just warming up and the circulation is starting to flow again. And they would wiggle their little tail and run off again. And now they're healthy and strong. He saved another sheep. He comforts us. He quiets us. He pities us, but he moves in his pity and in his mercy. So how grateful am I? I always say, surely goodness and mercy are following me here today. When the fridge is empty or the bank account is the same. Those times when I thought I had friends I could count on and they proved to be faithless and fickle. What about when it's not just my health that's failing, but I have to watch someone in pain passing away? Can I say the Lord is with me in goodness, in mercy, when the water is rising and everything I've hoped and dreamed for and worked for is washing away? Grandparents go to try to save their young ones and lose themselves, their own lives, and their children, and only the driver, the son, can get out. Sad stories. Is there still goodness and mercy pursuing me? I live in a country where our Declaration of Independence says that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness are inalienable rights from my Creator. My Creator here is turning that around. See that? I'm not pursuing all of that. His blessings are pursuing me. That's His word, somehow, some way. And so His Apostle James can say these really strange-sounding words unless you've knelt at the cross and you've seen the price that your shepherd paid for you. James says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." It's in these really awful times that we see the best come out in people. And you may be happy to see neighbors joining together and helping neighbors, but have you noticed how rare it is that someone actually comes out and praises God in the midst of that? There's a whole lot of praise of humanity. We did this and we did that. And in many ways, we have to agree with it in cases where people are helped. That's good. Where is God in all of that? I think maybe you have 1 out of 100 or 1 out of 10, kind of like when 10 lepers came to Jesus and he heals all 10 and only one comes back to say thank you. It's interesting how that continues. Can I boast in my loving shepherd's loving pursuit when the dream castles of my ambitions and hopes crumble into ruins? That's the way Philip Keller put it in that book that we're following here. It's the Apostle Paul who said, "May I never boast except in the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ." Ultimately, when you take everything away, sometimes say that, now I can see clearly what really matters. Now I see that ultimately it's my relationship with the Lord through Jesus Christ. And if you look at Psalms like Psalm 103, again, another Psalm of David, where he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." What's the first one he mentions? He forgives all my sins. Then he heals all my diseases. Now that's looking ahead to the last sermon in this series. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me because I have a Savior who paid the ultimate price for my soul, his blood that washed my sins away. Who else shed blood for you like Jesus, the innocent Son of God, blood that could wash away sins, blood that he did not need to shed for himself at all, but only for all sinners from time immemorial. And the proof of all of that, proof that cannot be argued away, his cross. Sometimes you have only 30 seconds to talk to somebody. They've maybe shared with you a little bit of the pain in their heart, and you don't have more than a moment. You can still witness to them in ways that they can carry this with them. Sometimes I just tell people in 30 seconds, take a piece of paper. Can you draw a line like this and another one like that? Focus. This is what God did for you by sending his Son to love you, for you, and give you everlasting life with him in heaven. That's the cross of Jesus Christ. Even I can draw that. Witness. Tell them. The proof is the cross. It can't be argued away. The guarantee is the empty tomb, his resurrection and ascension to God's right hand, and the down payment comes over and over again in his word and sacrament. Catechism Kids from Christ Lutheran told me years ago that Pastor Gavrish liked to tell them about free refills. Come for free refills. I love that. Every time we come to the Lord's house, more refills on his grace and mercy to convince us again, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And sometimes you really can't see that until you've gone through some dreadful time and you look back. And it's in looking back that you can finally see, here are things that the Lord did to bless me, even through the tears and these trials. I used to always tell the kids that when God talks about blessing, it means happiness. And that's maybe a good definition for children. But what do you do when you get older and your life as a Christian, as a sheep in the shepherd's care, does not always mean happiness? Then you have to be a little more specific, a little more precise. Happiness too much depends on happenings. When those happenings aren't happy, how can you be happy? Blessing really means that God is aiming at you with his mercy and his grace, following you with his loving kindness, his chesed, so that no matter what happens, he's going to turn that tragedy into a blessing. So he who spared not his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Paying the ultimate price in his own shed blood, he certainly, for sure, will follow me with goodness and mercy. The only question really is in my legacy. What am I leaving behind? Is mine a legacy of blessing? This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Christianity has always been a two-way street. The Lord loves, and he wants our love. Philip Keller likes to point out that as a shepherd, he saw this when he bought two derelict ranches that basically were just awful because they were rented by an owner that wasn't even there, rented out, and then the shepherd didn't even own the sheep that were on the land. So they'd just leave them to graze on their own, and sheep will keep on grazing all the way down to the roots, and basically you end up with no grass even left behind if they're neglected. But sheep who are cared for well by an industrious, knowledgeable shepherd who's out there with his sheep and really cares about them because they are his own. His name is all wrapped up in their welfare. Now, sheep in ancient times were called the golden hoofed ones, the creatures with golden hooves. Wherever they went, if managed well, they would leave behind a blessing. Now, this may be a little too earthy for some of you unless you grew up on a farm. I'll just apologize in advance to the city slickers. Sheep are the most well-balanced of all the domestic animals in their manure. Once my dad ordered up some fertilizer from a cow farmer onto the garden. Weeds all over the place. Rabbits and chickens. Too high in nitrogen. That'll burn the grass and it'll burn what you try to plant on it. But sheep, they like to feed in the lush green valleys, but they like to lie down on the high places. And so they're transferring the lush soil from the valleys to the wind-blown tops of the hills. In fact, they're weed-eating machines. What other creature eats more weeds? And somehow those weeds don't show up after the sheep move along, like with cattle. Just interesting, isn't it, how the Lord takes this creature, makes sheep, and then says, "You're sheep, and you watch what I can do in the legacy of your blessing with what follows behind you. Might not be pleasant to the people around you because they don't like you, they hate you because they eat. It's going to happen. But you will be a blessing, and I will make sure of it." Even Canadian thistle, I don't know if you've ever tried to get rid of a field of Canadian thistle, but it's really tough until the sheep get there. Sheep like to nibble on the tender buds of Canadian thistle like you and I like to nibble on candy. And in a year or so, it's all gone, eradicated by these creatures with golden hoofs that leave behind a blessing. Derelict ranches become park-like properties, and Philip Keller saw that and loved it with the sheep that he cared for. So the problem is then, how deep is your goodness and how real is your mercy? What is the legacy that you leave behind? Do you criticize the prejudice of others while you miss your own racism? Media's full of it, but you'll see that amongst us too. It's so easy to see it in others. Favoritism, it's called in the translation, but it literally means the one who looks at the face. Are you colorblind? What about help? What goes around comes around, they say. So are you helping just so that you'll get helped someday? Are you willing and eager to help those who cannot help themselves because that is the way God helped you? There are those who only give gifts to those who give gifts to them. Not God's way. He gives the greatest gifts to those who cannot help themselves. God helps those who cannot help themselves and gives the greatest gift in the life and death and resurrection of his own Son to all of us sinners who were dead in our transgressions and sins so that we could live. Come over to life by faith in Jesus. Do you have a will to leave behind a legacy? Did you remember God's work in your will? I didn't say this church. I mean the whole work of God, spreading this legacy of blessing. Do you leave behind happiness or heartache? When you've gone on, is there wisdom there or just foolishness? Understanding or just misunderstanding? Is it kindness or rancor and bitterness and resentment? Can you happily return to places where you've been before? Do you make sure you can't go back because people were glad when you left? Some Christians can't go back to places where they've been before. What is your legacy? That's really the only question. You look back to the patriarchs. Paul talked about that in our second lesson from Romans 11, the patriarchs, the election. And to Father Abraham, the Lord said, "You will be a blessing." He didn't say, "If you do this or that." There's no ifs, ands, or buts in the promise. It's pure grace. You will be a blessing. And what did he say about Abraham? He will teach his descendants my word. He would leave behind faith's fertilizer in their hearts so that they would grow and prosper and blossom and bloom with his love. We are still enjoying Abraham's legacy in his greatest descendant, in Jesus Christ, as we're still spreading that faith, hope, and love around us today. How beautiful are your feet? Because how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. I'm one of those people that needs Christians around me to remind me of those things. On 9/11, I still remember how disturbing that was. So many years ago, before some of you were born, I know that, but it was awful. And then to think to come back to a congregation and need to comfort others. Synod's website, where there were so many beautiful prayers of people praying God to turn this around and make it a blessing, really interceding without even it. And my Savior and the Holy Spirit in me so that I can comfort others. He fills our hearts with blessings, and the overflow is for those around us. There's a legacy. God brings it. So can you spend those early morning hours knee-deep in the dewy meadows of God's Word, alone with your good shepherd? Or are you first with the news and your social media and all the other things? Are you eager? Am I eager to be with my good shepherd and with his flock? Personal devotions, corporate worship, eager to share it with others? Ours is not an inheritance that can perish, spoil, or fade. It won't rust. It can't be stolen. It can't wash away in a flood. This wonderful legacy of goodness and mercy from God that flows to us and through us to others, thy kingdom come, is a blessing that takes the weeds of bitterness and resentment and chews them up and takes them away. Instead, rich soil of forgiving grace and the covering of Christ's mercy is left behind. Mercy covers over a multitude of sins. When you think back on Jesus in his life, he was known as the one who went about doing good, and it was always in mercy. The more difficult the situation, the more tired and distressed he was, and the more pitiful the people who came to him. Sometimes, yes, as we heard in the gospel lesson, he would make it tough. But he would draw out the faith of people like that woman just pleading, Lord, yes, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. She would not be put off. That's determination in faith that keeps coming to God no matter what you see or feel, trusting his word. He was really for two rewards. The shepherd, Philip Keller, said this. He said he loved to see his flock flourishing, and he loved to see the park-like properties that were left behind as he moved his flock along. That's all God wants from us. He who is love and goodness in his very essence wants love. Our love. Your love. The lover of my soul delights in my love as surely as lovers delight in each other's delight. Those are pictures that he uses from his word. Can he count on a delightful return from you and me as long as we are in his word? To show and tell the love of Jesus, I would have to ask, where will your priorities be this fall? Beginning next Sunday, we call it Rally Sunday. How high on your priority list will Sunday school be for your children? And will you show them by your actions that the word of God is not just for kids? You can't just drop them off and go somewhere else. There's nothing better than to be with the shepherd and with his flock in Bible class too. Can you show the love of Jesus by the things that you do and the priorities that you set? And you want to help? Watch for opportunities from the Wells Committee on Relief. 98 cents on the dollar goes to wherever it's intended because it's run by volunteers. Even the Red Cross is nowhere close to that, as good as it is. These are blessings and a legacy to leave behind because all the Lord wants is for goodness and mercy to be following you until it finally catches up with you. That'll be the last sermon in this series. But for now, as it flows through you and to others in a legacy of pure delight in the shepherd, he sees it. He made it. He's satisfied. The Lord is my shepherd. Amen.